All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15. Next week I'll be speaking. It's a message that's been percolating for a long time. It's really my Thanksgiving message, but it's called Generous Christianity. And from there, going into the holidays, I'll be doing a series, an Advent series, as it were, leading up to Christmas, which is on a Monday. Christmas Eve is a Sunday night. We're going to be having a Christmas Eve service as well as our regular morning service. I can't imagine not having a service on Christmas on Sunday morning. So make your plans, if you will, to be with us. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15, of the shortest probably of the verses that relate to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Why would God have to give that kind of instruction to his people? Well, if you look at the 10th commandment as well, you'll see that there's an inkling as to why, and there is a link. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's home, nor covet your neighbor's wife, which he just dealt with. In verse 14, related to adultery, not your female servant or your ox or your donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. I won't go into this morning, but really at the heart of stealing is covetousness. That is wanting something, seeing something, and wanting something. Looking at all this food, I'd like to grab a bag and go home. It looks good to the eyes. In fact, it's linked to the very first sin in the Garden of Eden. Eve, given instructions by God, saw that the fruit on the tree, the forbidden fruit on the forbidden tree, was good. And that's what started the downward trend. Wow, if we lose our electricity, we could do it like at a concert. We could all get lights. James 1:17 says that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, the King James says. In other words, every good thing that we have is from God. And it's interesting that in the Ten Commandments, in verse 15, God gives his stamp of approval on ownership of personal property. It's not wrong to have things, is it? He says he's given us all things for our enjoyment. So if you have what you have, it's for your enjoyment, and you worked hard for it, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the devil and how he so influences people to see things that are not theirs and want it for themselves. John 10:10, the thief comes, and oh, how he tends to come, but forth to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The abundant life for me is not losing the things that I've worked so hard for. The thief Jesus is referring to in the scriptures is no other than Satan himself. And he's a thief. John 8:44 says that he's a liar too. So lying, thieving, devil, get away from me. The Lord contrasts the work of the devil as stealing, killing, and destroying, while the work of Jesus is none other than the abundant life. The true life, it's called. The good life. Notice that the thief doesn't stop in John 10:10. At one sin, the sin of stealing, he actually goes on and it progresses to killing and destroying, and that's what he does. And he does it pretty well if you watch the news, which I tend to limit these days because it's depressing. I think at times we have to check our own lives as to how we might be failing God, maybe, by yielding to stealing, cheating, manipulating, coveting for things that we want. 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 following talk about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life as being worldliness. And it's that influence that enters our life and, if we're not careful, can so take over. And we could find ourselves thieving. Do you ever have anything stolen from you? It's heartbreaking, isn't it? I've worked probably since I was about 10 years old. My mom worked at the courthouse in Norristown, Pennsylvania, and I used to go and I used to shine shoes. $1 a foot. And back then, that's pretty good money. For a 10, 12-year-old, I would stand at the corner where all the lawyers and judges and people would walk by, and I would say, "Shoe shine? How about a shoe shine?" I felt like a hawker at one of the Phillies games, you know. "Hot dog here. Get your hot dog." I remember leaving one time and I had a fistful of money. For a little kid, they were all ones. I felt like I was a bank. Right across the street was the YMCA, and my parents would pick me up from the YMCA, so I would just crisscross back and forth. But one day, some older kids saw my shoeshine box that I would keep, and they didn't hurt me, but they threatened me, asked for my money. I got robbed as a little kid. So I left that and went to deliver newspapers, and of course you know about newspapers. Back then you had to collect if you delivered, and sure enough, one day, walking down the alley. What's up with this? Why do people do that? I saved up enough money for a Schwinn bicycle, brand new. I had it one day, got stolen off the front porch of our house. I knew who took it. He's just a big guy and scary, and you had to live with these people. And I'd watch them ride it up the street and down the street. Heartbreaking, isn't it? I learned pretty early that there are people that are thieves. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, when God was laying out instructions for the new people of God, and they've experienced this exodus, he didn't want them to steal from one another. They had been slaves. You can imagine everything being taken from you as a slave, and I'm sure the temptation is as great then as it is now. This morning, what is the meaning of the eighth commandment? The extent of that commandment and then the remedy for that commandment. It's rather striking that the first sin committed by human family is in the form of thievery. Genesis 3:6. As I mentioned, Eve took the forbidden fruit. Then she gave it to Adam, which was party to his sin. Others benefit from stealing. It's the first sin that was mentioned as Israel went into the promised land. You remember the guy named Achan stole from among the spoils. When God said, "Give it all to me," it was Karem. It was to be under the ban, restricted. No stealing, no taking for yourself. So he took the Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and 20 shekels of silver. Did anybody have to teach him to do that? No. In like manner, the first recorded sin to defile the early church is Acts chapter 5, verse 2, when Ananias and Sapphira held back a portion of their possessions, thinking that would somehow give them bragging rights or privilege within the early church, just like others had done. They kept back part for themselves. And it's interesting, it's one of the only times that it says, "Why have you lied not only to God, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit?" Boom. one by one, Ananias and then Sapphira, or one of the two first, I can't remember which, taken out, as it were, on a stretcher. Given a chance to fess up, but they didn't take it, thinking nobody saw it. Even one of the precious 12, the apostles, was said to be a thief. Who was that? Judas. Anybody know a child named Judas? I don't know anybody named Judas. Why? Forever condemning the name to thievery. Literally, it says he had his hand in the bag. Isn't that interesting? Isn't he the one that objected to Jesus when he looked at this perfume that was given? Said this perfume could have been sold for so much. Wow. Psychology Today magazine, it says that stealing is one of the first things little kids learn. I would imagine the teachers in our audience, the people that work with children, realize that this is a problem. They see something that they want. It could be something as simple as an eraser. People will steal things they don't even know what it is or what it does, and they'll steal it. In my days of construction, when I worked for Bell Telephone, we had to have a guy watch our pickup truck, because if you turn around to do one thing, you might know about this. You turn around to do something and somebody's taking something out of your pickup truck. Why is that? Bound in the heart, the Bible says, as the sparks fly upward. Foolishness. Many times stealing is one of those first things that we have to deal with as parents. Karl Marx himself admitted that the right to private property is based on the 8th commandment. He advocated a form of socialism, communism, that tried to make all things level, and only to find out just a new group of people exploited others. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God has richly given all things for us to enjoy. So we know God's principle is clear. It's not wrong to have things. It's not things that cause problems. It's the love of some things that sometimes cause problems. We're responsible to God for how we use them. Steal property of another is a sin against God and a crime against society, and no society can thrive when this takes place. Depriving of another person of his property, which at least in some sense of the world, rightfully belongs to that person and shouldn't be taken. New Testament expands on that 8th command by saying in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his own hands that he may give to him that needs. Notice that that's God's plan for dealing with people, with the haves and the have-nots. Rather than compel somebody to steal because they have nothing, they should experience the generosity of those that have, not to make them irresponsible, but to bless and encourage them. That's interesting that Jesus took so many of the Ten Commandments and elaborated on them. And as we said at the beginning of our study on the Ten Commandments, the first four were directed directly at God, and you'll have no other gods before me, God said, and you'll have no graven image of that God, and that you're to keep the Sabbath, and you're to basically honor me. And the last six are dealing with our relationship to one another. Jesus summarized these in his earthly ministry by saying, you heard that it was said, and he comments about the Ten Commandments. I like that because it's scriptural commentary on the scripture. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Imagine being God and having the ability to do anything. Like the movie Bruce Almighty. You know, a human being endowed with the privilege of being God, and he could do anything for the first half of the movie. He's doing things for himself. But Jesus chose not to do that. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the kenosis passage, we call it. It's the emptying of himself. It's a theological idea. That Jesus, as God, set aside all the divine privileges of the Godhead, took on the form, or just the appearance, he wasn't a ghost, but taking on humanity and all of its frailties so that he could identify with you and me. To have all that ability and to go through life, he had no place, the Bible says, to lay his head. He had no pillow, my pillow. Imagine that. He walked everywhere, had no car. No electric car, no Prius. Nope. Two sandals. Yeah. Walked everywhere. Imagine that kind of guy. Carpenter. Did you ever see a sissy looking carpenter? Me, I didn't. Walked everywhere. That's who came. That's who died for you and for me. What's the extent to which the scriptures go? Well, I don't anticipate anybody here being a Madoff who took and made off with all the people of New York's money. Other people's money was called by one politician who freely spent it for his own indulgences. But there are times that we could find ourselves tempted. I was watching the news last night and I saw a guy, they got him on camera. Made his way into a pizza shop and stole the tip jar. Now, who does that? If you know who this is, call in. Now, I don't know who it is. But could you imagine the people that do? How about shoplifting? It's called purloining, petty pilfering. One of the major problems faced by store managers between Thanksgiving and Christmas is people who come and steal merchandise. And I can't help but wonder, I'm sure parents want what's best for their children, and their children say, I want this so much. I don't know that anybody's buying Cabbage Patch Kids, but I remember a day where if you could get yourself a Cabbage Patch child, you're somebody. You have a little certificate, a little birth certificate for the little Cabbage Patch baby, and you are really happening. How about when you were a kid, you know, Fireball XL5, you probably never even heard of it. It's back when they had marionettes being the little cartoon characters, and they were spaceship people, and I wanted a Fireball XL5. Did I get it? Nope. But my friend did. Was I tempted? If that thing wasn't this big, I would have stolen it. Yeah. I'm not proud of the fact that as a kid, I probably would have taken anything that wasn't nailed down. Nobody had to teach me that. It was just one of those things. It's been said that going into debt beyond our ability to pay is stealing. It's the extent to which stealing is prohibited. Many steal by living beyond their means. They see their job coming to an end. They get their credit card and they see the limit and they take a world tour, knowing that when they come back, all they have to do is file for bankruptcy. Maybe a failure to give a full day's work for a full day's pay is thievery. They say more time is wasted now as people are more and more on their computers and now with cell phones, and that they're texting and they're just stealing from their employers. Used to be that people would start work early and leave work late. Now it's just the opposite. They come in late and they leave early. They take prolonged lunch periods, citing that other people at work are doing the same thing, and why shouldn't I? I mean, stealing could be taking some substandard merchandise and selling it at an inflated price. The Old Testament called that usury. It's actually charging them more than what we got for it. It's sad, but when we were in Lebanon just a couple months ago, all this aid is flowing in from around the world because of the Syrian refugees, and locals are stealing the truckloads of people pouring in and charging their own people at inflated. They got it for free and they're selling it. That's a sin. And culturally accepted in some parts of the world. Grieves me. The book of Amos talked about that. Those that are being swallowed up by the needs caused by poverty. How do you break the cycles? Amos 8, 4, and 5 talks about people making money-making schemes and exploiting their own people. And at least five times in the Bible we're warned not using unjust scales. In other words, if you don't give a gallon of gas as a gallon of gas, you're violating God's words. People set their scales to benefit them rather than giving you a full gallon, they give you less. In our day now, we have to worry about people stealing our identity. I can't tell you how many times they've had to reissue my credit card because of people stealing it. So it is a problem. And as I mentioned a little while ago, probably the worst and most egregious stealing goes on not by those that don't know the Lord, but by those that do know the Lord. They steal from God when they don't give to God what is his. Billy Graham said, until God gets a hold of our wallet, he hasn't got a hold of us. What do we do? Well, I'm certainly not talking to the person who takes salt and pepper packets from McDonald's. I'm not talking about people who might be tempted to take towels from a hotel room. But that is stealing. Or shortchanging people at the checkout counter, or shoplifting, or padding our expense accounts. But there are so many ways that the temptation to steal can enter our life that we're not even aware of it. And in light of all the other Ten Commandments, not murdering and not committing adultery, it seems like stealing is, but it's but a little thing. And our culture winks at it, makes fun of it even. 70% of all kids in a classroom will cheat if they have an opportunity because they know everybody else in the classroom is cheating too. That study was done at a Christian college. I'd hate to think that I'd be the guy that would go to Home Depot and change one of the price tags from a very expensive item to a very not so expensive item because I wanted it. Who of us haven't coveted something, wanted something, saw something, and said to ourselves, I want that? There's a little book my wife and I read when we were first married. It's called Living More with Less. You've heard me say this a couple times, but it seems like we spend the first 50 years of our life accumulating stuff, and the last 50 years, if we live that long, trying to get rid of it. Life, the Bible says, does not consist in the abundance of things which a man possesses. If you take the kernel of that verse, it says that life is not in things. Did you ever see the show Hoarders on television? You think, how could that ever happen? My sister died a hoarder. 2 years ago when we went down and cleaned out her house, she had passed away. I did the funeral. I went to her house. I was shocked. I couldn't even go in. That little snake path that you see in all the hoarders' houses was in my sister's house. And all my life, the thing I remember about my sister most of all, God rest her soul, if that was possible. I hope she came to know the Lord, but I don't think she did. She loved things. That can happen to anybody. You ever have a friend borrow something and not bring it back? Miss Librarian Lady. Do you ever have students take books out of the library and not bring them back? Does it make you want to scratch their eyes out? How many times do you have to replace that tool in your shed because a neighbor didn't bring it back? How many times do you find yourself, friends asking for things all the time? It's like, hey, what happened to that? In front of my day timer, I have an in and out list because people ask me all the time for things. And I forget, where did that go? Until I need it, and then I'm like, oh, that didn't come back. And we could forget. What's the remedy for something like, see, I can't believe I'm even talking about this on Thanksgiving. I'm going to steal some turkey. Some cranberry sauce. Stuffing. Homemade mashed potatoes. And that sounds pretty good right now. God does have a remedy for it, and it's very simple. Stealing is one of those symptoms that's inborn in sin, so it's not a matter of whether we want or have we. Maybe it's more better when we or if tempted to. It's an inborn sin, and only Jesus can cure that wrong desire because that's where it starts, the desires. Doesn't the Bible say God will give us the desires of our heart? Rather than running out and purchasing something or even coveting it and possibly having the temptation to steal it, maybe we could just trust God for whatever our needs are. How hard is that? Before we can conquer that sin, the sin of stealing, Lord only knows who of us this might apply to. We have to have an experience to the fullest degree, the new birth. Jesus gave up everything so that we would have something. We need to seek forgiveness for the things that we might have stolen or coveted and settle our account with God Almighty before we can move anywhere. I'd be shocked if the person that stole my bicycle would come back years later and say, you know what? I stole this from your front porch. And I'm sorry. It's a little rusty. It's been about 40 years. But here it is. Has anybody ever apologized to you or asked for forgiveness for something that they might have taken from you? We all have favorite things and things that we really value because we worked hard to get them. To know that somebody would come in and steal it is such a violation that you have a right to be upset, and that's okay, and you know, as long as that lasts, but it should compel us not to do that to somebody else. The most famous story of this comes from the New Testament when Jesus came to a man, I call him named Zac, the Zac lesson. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, you got it. And a wee little man was he, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see, and there Jesus was coming. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. This is a song. He was a thief. And when God convicted his heart, he confessed it and said, I'll return what I've stolen times seven. the Old Testament law in Exodus 22 said that you only had to give back twice what you stole if you were caught. So for the people that think, well, it's not really thieving if I don't get caught, can you imagine the rationale there? But God bless. God came to Zacchaeus knowing that he was a thief in Jericho, the very place where the first thieving took place. What irony. And he offered to restore what was wrongfully taken. Four times is what it was. The Old Testament said two. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. So there's only one remedy. One, to have a new birth, and then two, to confess whatever sin of thieving we might have had. And then to trust God for all of our needs. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let God provide. Trust the Lord. There are so many ways we can rationalize what we do to get what we want. And God says, no. Message for the believer, if you've taken anything or doesn't belong to you, could be history, could be 40, 50 years old. Confess it, make restitution. Your troubled soul will find rest. Because you know, God's Holy Spirit doesn't leave us alone. Every time you go and grab the shovel that you found along the side of the road, you'll think, I found that shovel on the side of the road. It belonged to somebody else, and I got it. Take it back. You don't even want to think about it. To the person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you want to know, well, why do I do that? Because you need Jesus. The Ten Commandments were only given to show us the scale so that we would know what is right and what is wrong. If we find out we're wrong, there's a remedy to that. It's Jesus. You will come to the foot of the cross. You will find wonderful restoration. Jesus will not only forgive you of your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that he will make it as if you never sinned in your life. He's just. He's literally the just one. He's not only my lawyer, he's also the judge that's presiding my case, and he will forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me. Oh, what a day that would be if God's people, regardless of the sins that we've committed, we seem surprised that we sin, but just imagine what it would be like. It's like a spiritual shower. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. Let me close by saying, ultimately, God knows all things. He knows what's ours, what's not ours. Apostle James made it quite clear. It was a warning to the wealthy who expressed partiality to their workers and withheld riches from them. He didn't give them what they deserved. And God says, not so, not good. The danger here, he says, that your garments will become moth-eaten and your gold and your silver will be corroded. Gold and silver doesn't corrode. The corrosion will be a witness against you and it will eat your flesh like fire. The strongest terms found in the scriptures relate to how we handle other people and their money. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 simply says, and it's the ultimate remedy, let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands, that which is good. What will happen? That he may have to give. He who has to give will give to him who has needs. That's God. May God supply all your needs, as the book of Philippians says, according to his riches in glory. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning thankful. What a joy it is to know that you're the provider, a of everything that we have. There's nothing that we have that doesn't start from your gracious hand. For that one that may be here this morning, Lord, and it's just one of those lingering things in the back of their mind they've struggled with. Started when they were a kid. It just kind of developed. I pray that this morning as they talk to you that you'll forgive them. Lord, I pray they'd come to trust you, not only with their monies, with things, but with their soul. As they call out upon you, save them, make them your child, challenge them with all that they have. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?